now joining me on the Bengals Beat podcast, we have a very special guest. I have been fortunate to have some other amazingly talented people from ESPN join this podcast, but I will have to say Dan Orlovsky has been at the top of my list. So Dan, thank you so much for joining me. I tried to get you last week and it didn't work out. And I just had this feeling that the Bengals were going to win and I might get a chance to have you on again. So I'm super happy that you're on and looking forward to getting your insight for this big game on Sunday.
No, thank you for those kind words. Yeah, glad it worked out. Massive fan of Cincinnati as a football team. So it'll be good to chat.
So I know you're well into your film study, breaking it down this week all on all of the various shows you do on ESPN, but let's talk about the fact that this is a unique matchup. The NFC matchup is different because, right, like two very physical teams meeting in Philly don't have a lot of familiarity. But on the other end, in the AFC, the Chiefs and the Bengals are now meeting for a fourth time in 13 months. Yeah. With the Bengals owning three of the last matchups. And I didn't realize it until I went through the numbers. Each time these teams have played, it's been by a score of 3 points that the Bengals have won. So they've been neck and neck. So I guess I'll just start by asking if you wanted to give me your opening thoughts about what you think about the fact that both of these two teams are back again meeting at Arrowhead Stadium this year.
Yeah, there's a great understanding of who teams are, identity and philosophy-wise, what they want to be, you know, how they played you. And I think the real thing that both staffs would do is take a step back and go, hey, what did we do versus this team that we did well, that we think we can tap into more? Mm-hmm. What did we do that didn't work well? What did they, and vice versa, what did they do versus us that they had success with and or force us to struggle with? So you've got a really good database of all the things that you think we should and should not do as far as scheme and whatnot. You know, Cincinnati's rolling and as they should feel confident, you know, because they've won their last three. You have to see the health of Patrick and how much it really impacts them. I think there's a little bit of a watch the first couple series feel in this game to see what Patrick actually looks like, no matter what we say or people say up until game time. So I think that's the big, I don't want to call it an unknown, but the big kind of paying attention to is what he looks like in those first couple series and how Cincinnati defensively and Anarumo try to go after him a little bit to see how he reacts.
Yeah, it's the way Lou Anarumo has schemed up this defense and just being here around this locker room every day. People that don't know some of these players in the locker room, like, it just works on defense because they don't have a ton of flashy stars per se, but they've got really solid, smart players at every level. And it allows them to, and you can speak more on this because I know you've done it on some of your film breakdowns, but it seems like it allows them to be able to do some of the extensive coverages that Lou wants his team to do, because sometimes I know if you feed a player too much and they get caught up on trying to do too much, they don't even do the first thing the right way. But it seems like this defense for the Bengals can handle any coverage or any look that he wants, and it's multiple throughout a game. And so I'm just interested to hear what you think the Bengals will try to do based off the last three meetings against the Chiefs offense.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that the Bengals defense is very early 2000 New England Patriots, you know, where, you know, effort is everything on their front. And that is a big deal. They don't beat themselves on the front. And I always say that, like, I think really great coaches, which Lou Anarumo is very much so trending into that category, is before they ask their players to do what they do well, they make sure they never ask their players to do what they can't do well or not do what they can't. And I think that's a big focus of theirs. You know, I think the big question for Cincinnati is how are they going to handle Kansas City's multiple tight ends? You know, if I was Kansas City, and I felt this way before Patrick got hurt, I think you can make the case that the best player in Cincinnati's defense is Mike Hilton, maybe the most impactful. And so since Kansas City, the big difference in their football team this year offensively compared to last year is that they are more than willing to put two tight ends and a lot of times candidly three tight ends. They're the number one three tight end offense in the NFL, 13 personnel. So I always thought that that would be something that they would lean into this game. And what happens is when they do that, like Cincinnati's got to make a choice, because as great as Cincinnati Bengals fans won't like this, as great as their defense is, they're the second to worst defense in the NFL playing the run when multiple tight ends are on the field.
Is that why Baltimore was such a challenge for them?
Yeah, that's a little bit. I mean, the Baltimore quarterback run aspect brings it to the next level. Yeah, because the question for Cincinnati is like, do they leave Mike? And this is what Cincy did to Buffalo last week with Taron Johnson, their nickelback. They just got in formations and ran at him. And when you ask those nickels who are 190 pounds, if they're, you know, 180, 100, to deal with 250, 260-pound tight ends or 320-pound offensive linemen, that's hard over the course of a football game, especially with the formations that you can get into. So I think, like, if I was Kansas City, again, I felt that way before Patrick's injury. That's what I would be doing, is turning this into a 13 game with Pacheco and then going, Cincinnati, you're going to take your best player off the field? Are you going to get into some five-down defensive lineman fronts? Because then I think that plays to the advantage of Kansas City and the things that they want to do. And then, you know, how they handle the play-action game out of that stuff, because I just told you they were the number one 13 offense, and they're the number one play-action 13 offense in the league as well. So I think that's a real challenge for Cincy.
So sticking on that point, might you think Mike Hilton is going to be a factor in this game? And then so when you're talking about these tight ends, it's interesting because – Lou doesn't really use his linebackers on tight ends as much right. as other defenses do. And I asked him why, and he just said, because of how quick and athletic these guys are. He thinks yep. having a DB on them is better for him, but the Bengals, the guy that typically does that for them is Trey Flowers. And it sounds like he's going to play. Zach Taylor said he's progressing well, but he didn't play last week. So they had Dax Hill, their rookie, playing for him.
Sure.
Trey's kind of had an up and down season. Besides that matchup, if he's the one called upon with these tight ends, of their linebacker core, or do you think it's like a Von Bell situation? Like, who else do you think with the yeah. tight ends is going to be a factor in this game?
Yeah, I think you lean if Trey can go. I mean, Trey was so good against Kelce last year. Now I think Kelce's a little bit healthier this year than he was, you know, in that playoff game last year. I think Dax, because of his physicality and like his willingness to be physical, is probably that's. But the pass game wouldn't necessarily be my biggest concern if I was Cincy. It would be who do I feel is capable of coming up and matching those guys at the line of scrimmage in the run. And I think that Trey, that's not necessarily who Trey has been, and coming off of injury, I think you'd probably lean into a little bit of extra linebacker play. I think Dax occasionally, you know, dependent on down and distance. I mean, I've said that's the number one thing that I'm going to pay attention to early on in that game is how Cincinnati's handling that stuff.
Well, they have a good linebacking core, so if they have to turn to Jermaine Pratt, Logan, and ADG, they seem like they're going to be able to handle that. Travis Kelce hasn't been that much of a factor when these teams have played. Mostly, it's been the running backs. In the last meeting, McKinnon and Pacheco had 115 yards on the ground. So I think that, to me, seems like it's going to be a big factor. On the offensive side, I know you really look at what the Bengals have done with the offensive line play being, they lost three starters heading into this game. I know I totally doubted them. I didn't think that Jackson Carmen was going to play how he did. And I mean, Alex Gapp has been one of the best guards. I talked to Brian Callahan about him all the time, and he's like, he's playing as good as any guard. Do you get the sense that might've been a one-time performance for Jackson, like this could show up again this week?
I would say this ain't Buffalo's defensive line in Kansas City. Okay, like you saw the trend of Buffalo being incapable of getting to the quarterback. Kansas City is not that defense. Kansas City can get after a quarterback. They're not perfect, but they hit quarterbacks second most out of anybody in the NFL this year behind Dallas.
Wow. You
know, and so while we don't feel that way, I think the reality is How do they handle Chris Jones as the starting point? You know, and you can't single him up that often. You've got to go to him and double him. I think the thing that has become the more impressive thing in the last 5 or 6 weeks for Kansas City, and I called their Raiders game week 18 and talking with Steve Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, was the two people that have really come on for them are Carl Laftis, their first round edge guy, who will remind Bengals fans of, Trey Hendrickson and Hubbard, just because of the effort that they play with. And then Mike Dana. And so, like, as an offensive line, you sit there and go, can we block these guys up? Now, the Bengals do a great job. Joe does a great job of getting the ball out. If I was Cincinnati, I talked about a little bit this week, that trips formation that they get into is really giving defenses trouble because of where they'll move Jamar. I think that, like, I would live in a world where Jamar was hanging on the backside, and I would say, if you're not going to double team him, we're going to throw him the ball. And if you're going to play cloud coverage, then we could feel really good about getting the ball out quickly and trying to minimize that offensive line or defensive line, excuse me.
So you just mentioned Jamar. That's what I was going to ask you. Receiver wise, do you think this is going to be a Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, or Tyler Boyd game? Like, when it's all said and done, which receiver do you think is going to have the most impact for Cincinnati's offense?
I think it's Boyd. Jamar is amazing. I think it would be dumb if you let Jamar beat you. Now, I know at some point Joe's like, hey, my guy better than your guy, I'm throwing it to him, or my guy's better than your two guys. But if you're Kansas City, you got to sit there and go, we are not going to lose again and go to the AFC Championship for the fifth time in a row and only have one Super Bowl to show for it because Jamar Chase had a buck 50 on us or a buck 80 on us. And then the same with T. I would expect, like, living in a world of hypotheticals and anticipation, like, I would expect Kansas City just play a ton of zone, try to really rally to the football, tackle well, punch the ball out when they get there, and hope that they can, play really good red zone defense and try to get after the defense or the offensive line in that moment when the field is shrunk down. That's what I would expect out of them. If they're going to pressure, I would expect middle field open pressures, not single high man pressures like they're notorious for, or all out zero. So I think in that world, Boyd has a pretty big advantage with what he tries to get done and just the matchup that he'll face.
Yeah, he's such an important part of this team. And I just have a couple more for you. I thought something really stood out of sitting in every single one of Burrow's press conferences, which I'm lucky to do. I thought he said something that he doesn't typically make, like, outlandish statements, but he said something after the Buffalo game while everybody was talking about the ticket line that he said to Tracy Wolfson, and then them capturing him saying, I'm him. He said that this Bengals team is more improved. They're a more complete team than they were last year. And when you put that in the context of he took them to the Super Bowl and they were a couple plays away from beating the Rams, for him to say they're even better, it's how do you not think going into this game that the Bengals do have every chance in the world to go back to the Super Bowl? And thinking about that, like, when you were thinking about this team heading into the season, did you think that was capable for this team?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So I'll give you a little background on, like, my experience. I don't know Joe like that. I've said hello to Joe, but I was team Trevor Lawrence, you know, calling college football games. I was like, yo, this kid's out of this world. Yeah. Going into the national title game of 2019, I was like, Trevor's the better player. I got into it with Marcus Spears on television. And I called the megacast on ESPN2 with, like, McAfee and whatnot for the game. And I remember walking off that field and honestly having my jaw down and being like, I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen a dude that just felt like, it felt like, I was like, yo, that he's an assassin. Like, he's an assassin, dude. And I remember leading into the draft, everyone was like, well, maybe the Bengals should take, you know, Chase Young at one. And I were just being like, you have to take Joe Burrow. I know Callie. And I remember talking to Callie about him. And I was like, Callie, dude, you got to take this kid number one, no matter what anybody says. It was one of those moments, like, you got to take this kid one. He's an absolute star. And so I think what you've seen is the quarterback. I've said this about Joe. He's got the best feel in the NFL of how to play that game, that week. You know, how do we beat that team? That's very Tom Brady-like, yes. And I think that the confidence that he's put into the football team, the confidence that Jamar has put into the team, the way that they've pieced together free agents. Yeah, I thought this was a Super Bowl team. Everyone freaked out early on because of the offensive line performance, which was probably a little bit fair. Joe didn't practice in training camp, so it was like, slow down, everybody. Yeah. The kid doesn't just go from awesome to suck.
He told us to relax. He pulled an Aaron Rodgers on us.
Yeah, just – and I think he's got a great understanding of the NFL game right now. I think he really does. And, you know, I said this week I think he's the best quarterback in football when it comes to, like, your bullet point quarterback stuff. And, yeah, I'm used to always say this, number one picks don't flip franchises. They just never did. Quarterbacks, I mean, go down the line. They were all failures. I think if he gets him back there again, you can make the case it's the greatest turnaround in North American sports history. I mean, they were awful before Joe. And I just, when you get a guy that's that good, that's got the pulse that he does, you get to see it and its impact.
Yeah, I have to like remind myself, you know, as a reporter, like it's you're there every day and the season kind of wears on you. But sure. I'm reminding myself, you know, not everybody gets to cover a quarterback Special. Like this. So I too remind myself of that. Well, I know you have to run. So, Dan, I just wanted to say thanks so much for joining me. And if I see you, maybe I'll see you in Arizona and we can have you back on if you end up being good luck for this team. So appreciate it again.
Thank you.